Unleashed tomorrow.
Under the heading of Don't Believe Everything You Hear, people are still struggling in the aftermath of the Gulf spill. And in the meantime, that drilling moratorium is going to stay. The feds lay down the law to the Oil Spill Commission. We're going to talk about it. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Whether you're in Texas or Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, any of the great states listening to us, feel free to throw in your two cents. No matter what your stripes are, left or right of right, it's all good, my friends. It's about the conversation, and we need to have more of these conversations. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. It's about protecting the freedoms and knowing what's happening, so arming yourself with the facts. Coming up on our next America Tonight, a couple of interesting guests, including one of my favorites to talk to, Jeff Atticott. He's our terrorism expert, and we'll get the true skinny on what's really going on when it comes to the war in Afghanistan, what's happening with WikiLeaks, and also what could be the next frontier when it comes to terrorism. Also, what to read into your vote and why your vote matters so much. We're going to talk to Celine Yeager about that. The House, it's interesting, the House votes, or the House members, haven't changed since the early 1900s, the representation. So what's that all about and what does it mean? We'll also examine that. But here in this hour of ATN, let's start off by talking about the drilling moratorium and the fact that it's going to stay. Now, we knew that this was going to probably hang around till November, right? Because the great Ken Salazar, the Interior Secretary, in all of his wisdom, laid this out there after the first time it was shut down. And deepwater drilling is, unfortunately, costing a lot of people jobs and their livelihoods as a result, and then it multiplies. Remember, it's not just the person who's on the platform, or it's not just the person dropping the line, as we saw from the BP spill. But this moratorium, at this point, what the feds are saying, that you got to halt the drilling at least for a few more months because of the BP oil rig explosion. There's not enough time to examine all of that. And even though it was overturned in court, it was reissued on July 13th. People forget that. Somebody said to me the other day, why isn't there any drilling? I remember you talking about that. Well, it's because it was overturned again in court, then reissued. So now in Louisiana, they are pleading with the Oil Spill Commission to do something about the lockdown. And the presidential panel asked the Interior folks whether they had any say in the matter and whether the rigs could get exemptions. Could there be rigs that passed all of the tests and were up to date completely with every single regulation? And that hasn't happened at this point. So the top drilling regulator, remember it's the guy we told you about, Michael Bromowich, says that he's going to propose a replacement for the moratorium by the end of October and leans against the exceptions. So, you know, ultimately what does that mean? And what it means is that some people say, okay, this might be a good thing to do because now you can see if the oil spill destroyed all these livelihoods, maybe it's a good thing. You can figure out what's happening and are there other hazards out there. But then there's others that say you do the basic risk assessment and look, you know what, you're drilling in the same place that you're shrimping. So, of course, you would have the potential for something to go wrong. Of course that could happen. But it's not about that. Then you shouldn't. If it's drill, baby, drill, and we need the oil, then that shouldn't even be taken into account in the first place. So does the moratorium actually help, or does it cripple all those people who need the work? Will there actually be better, bigger, badder, the correct regulations in place? Can you guarantee that a disaster won't happen again? Does this protect the oceans and everything that's in the ocean, half of what we eat? Or does this also protect the safety of the guys on the rigs? And remember, this always gets lost. 11 people died in the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And is this just a warning sign, kind of like what we saw in the coal mines, that there needs to be some more safety taken into account for the people who are working in the industry? And I would say this doesn't do anything. Because if you say drill, then you drill. If it's about drilling, remember, and that's what Obama said before all this happened, we have to drill, we have to open up the waters, we're really stuck, we haven't put enough of our money and into the resources, into the alternative energy forms yet, and there's no way we'll ever get there in the next couple of decades. It's going to take longer to get the massive amounts of testing that we need and massive amounts of plants to come online that could produce some of the things that we need to produce. So you say that you want the drilling. They say they want the drilling. The accident happens, and then they declare the moratorium. So there's no gray area in this one. There's none. Either you're going to have to put more rapidly into wind and solar power, and that's it. You're going to have to you're just going to have to pursue that cause. Or you have to get oil. We have to have the oil. The bottom line is, how many people do we have in this country? How much oil do we need? And it takes a lot of oil to run this country. Absolutely. So the people who aren't employed right now because of what's happened with the drilling moratorium, maybe somebody hands them some of those so-called clean jobs. So what do you think? Should deep sea drilling be put on hold indefinitely, really, until this is completely cleaned up? Or is it this tragedy happens and everybody else is suffering the consequences because of the one rig? Lots of questions, but what are the definite answers here? And retracing the steps is the first key, because I think that time's already been wasted on the Salazar watch. Frankly, I think he's the guy that should have got the axe when all this happened, but he didn't. He's there. He's stuck around. He's buddies with people in the oil industry, and he wasn't on top of it from the get-go. But now, if this moratorium's going to be in place for the foreseeable future, then let's hear what the new regulations are. Let's hear what the findings are and stop wasting time. Because to me, that's all it is. This is like a plug. It's a plug where it's not going to lead to the regulations that will make the industry safer. It'll just drag on and on and on. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to look back at what was a disaster also in that area, Hurricane Katrina, looking back on the days and what happened following it. Hang with us.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us up the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Work from home. Yeah, right.
Yes, the typical make-money-from-home scam has become a cynical laugh in this country. But for only $5 a month, this home-based business is anything but typical. Finally, a business we can all afford. AtHomeRevolution.com. But you're thinking,
how much can it be worth for only $5? And how much can you earn with that little investment?
Here's the truth. 94% of all who joined AtHomeRevolution.com have stayed. 94%. With AtHomeRevolution.com, there's no stress, no talking to anyone,
unless you want to,
and no long-term contracts or commitments. Request free information at AtHomeRevolution.com. It's honest, easy, and true. AtHomeRevolution.com, the best home-based business in existence today for only $5 per month. Then a one-time $10 investment for advertising. One time. That's it. AtHomeRevolution.com. That's ATHomeRevolution.com. Say yes to residual income with AtHomeRevolution.com.
The Gulf Coast, killing 2,000 and displacing a ton of people, 250,000 plus from Louisiana to Florida. Notice it's the same states from Louisiana to Florida talking about the oil spill, but nothing like Hurricane Katrina, certainly. So a lot of people are taking a look back after 5 years, and the tropical depression that ended up becoming the hurricane, and what was not unusual to some when it formed in the southeastern area of the Bahamas. I was talking about the Bahamas and that crash earlier. So the storm gathers that strength and you start to watch it. Then it becomes named Katrina and it blows across Florida. It's a low level deal. It kills 12 people 4 days later. Then it becomes a nightmare, a category 5 hurricane. The potentially catastrophic, menacing nightmare in the Gulf of Mexico. The winds 160 miles an hour when it hit land in Louisiana 5 days later on August 28, 2005. It was the costliest natural disaster in our history. I already told you the numbers. 2,000 people dead, 250,000 plus with no place to go thanks to this path of destruction. But it wasn't so much the hurricane, at least in New Orleans. What happened was the levees and the fact that the breakout there, the overflow there just flooded that city and took the lives of so many people. And when you look at the the hurricane, I can remember being on the air and talking about it. I can remember talking about the concern and geez, and then we saw what happened with Florida. And I really don't think there were a lot of people that were hurricane weary, because so often when you live in that area, you hear about these hurricanes, you hear that it could be, geez, the big one, disastrous, whatever. And a lot of people didn't really want to hear that. A lot of people didn't feel like that was true, that was going to be what turned into. And in the end, Katrina was the third deadliest hurricane since 1900. Was only topped by, if you go and Google this, you'll see the photographs, they're scary, by Galveston's hurricane in 1900. That killed 8,000 people. Whew. Then there was another one in 1928, and there was 2,500 people that were killed then. But it was Louisiana that really was hit the worst. And I guess you wonder if their lessons have been learned as a result of what happened in the wake of Katrina. So in looking back, it's interesting to listen to, at the time, Mary Landrieu, what she had to say, senator from Louisiana. Also, the governor, Kathleen Blanco, and Mike Brown, the head of FEMA, who was pummeled for the way he handled that. Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans. George Bush, the president at the time, who says that the city will rise again. And listen to their words and what they, all the names I just mentioned, they're specifically what they said about this disaster.
We understand that there are thousands of dead people.
We have so many people suffering. I will just tell you, it's heartbreaking. All of the relief workers that I have come across are in tears. And I'm talking about grown men crying.
Yeah, am I frustrated? Sure, I'm frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. This is a war zone that we're working in right now, and we'll continue to make progress day by day by day.
No expenses being spared. No assets are being spared. Every federal, every state, and every local asset is being applied to this unfolding disaster.
I believe that the great city of New Orleans will rise again.
I'm at the point now where it don't matter. People are dying. They don't have homes. They don't have jobs. The city of New Orleans will never be the same.
And I don't think it will ever be the same. I, sadly, as somebody who had been to New Orleans a couple of different times way before Katrina, and saw what it was like, not just in the French Quarter, but other areas, I truly believe it won't. You heard what Bush said and about it will return. I don't think so. And I mentioned this on a previous show, knowing we were going to talk about Katrina. Who's moving back there? A lot of people, certainly people did move back, but there were a lot of people who chose not to go back. And you look at the fact of the housing situation, the school system now and how it's been torn apart since then, the crime situation had the highest murder rate according to the FBI. So you have what used to be New Orleans, the party city, the place to meet, the weekend getaway, the Super Bowl, just what that city represents. And I just am talking about Louisiana and New Orleans, because certainly Mississippi was slammed too. Biloxi, Mississippi, and a lot of those coastal areas, there was a lot of focus on New Orleans, but there were other people who were just as devastated, people who died, people whose houses crumbled, and they lost everything. And you wonder, if ever, and I say it won't happen, would you ever, what would it take to see that city be built into what it once was? And I just, I hate to be a dream smasher, but I don't think so. I think that I think it New Orleans will always have a place, but I just don't think it can come back to what it was before the magical musical jazz place. What Bourbon Street will still be a place that will invite people, but I don't believe, thanks to Lake Pontchartrain, because that's what happened, I don't believe that the place that was will ever be again, at least in my lifetime. Afterwards, who knows? I mean, if it were to swing back, I would think it would take a much longer time to do that. Like, there are resilient people in New Orleans, absolutely. And then there are people who were determined to get back there, and they did make their way back to New Orleans. But I do not think in my lifetime it will ever be the same. All right, let's go out to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How you doing, gorgeous?
What do you think? Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I haven't had the pleasure, no.
Well, then I can't really talk to you about that, whether or not it would be the same, but you certainly know the devastation. You saw that like everybody else.
Sure, and the way George Bush handled it, please, he should have been impeached for that.
Well, here's what happened. I think the way it was handled all the way around the board, I thought the governor did a lame job.
Right.
I think Mike Brown did a terrible job as the head of FEMA, not, you know, texting back, oh, I'm eating dinner, don't bother me. It was
right.
Like, wow, do they realize what's going on here? Are they that isolated? Is everybody so isolated? Also, Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, there were readily available things that could have happened there ahead of time to get people out of the city, and they weren't utilized?
Yeah, I mean, it was like the same thing here with, okay, I'm not trying to compare Hurricane Katrina to the ice storm we had here in 1998, but, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but some parts of Montreal, they didn't have power for a month because the whole hydro grid, like some of the hydro poles were just falling over like, you know, a Meccano set. And originally Hydro-Québec, that's the governing, you know, that's the hydro company here, said, oh, some places may only get, you know, maybe out for 6 hours because they didn't know the original damage. I remember, okay, this is when there was a separatist government here. So the Prime Minister at the time, Prime Minister of Canada, said, I'm calling in the Canadian Army. So the provincial premier, a guy named Lucien Bouchard, real idiot, that's for another story.
Right.
He said, no, you know, how dare you? So then, the Prime Minister said, excuse me, who's higher here, me or you? So he called in the Canadian Army and he wasn't thrilled with that. So it was sort of like, you know, sometimes the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
Well said. That's the great way to end this. Sometimes they don't know what the other hand's doing. We'll talk more about that on the flip side.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network. No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys,
attorneys or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
This is George Whitehurst Berry. As an avid outdoorsman doing professional photography in some of the most remote regions of the American Southwest, I swear by the Gusset Clothing Company. Diamond Gusset jeans are the jeans I've been looking for years. The unique gusset design, a technological breakthrough, was inspired by the needs of martial arts masters for more freedom of movement in their workouts. Diamond Gusset jeans are the most rugged, durable, flexible, and comfortable on planet Earth. Timeless style and good looks with rugged, superior quality made in USA cotton, superior weaving techniques, more stitches per inch, and higher quality standards go into every jean the Gusset Clothing Company makes before they proudly put on the label Made in USA. Buy American at GussetClothing.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T clothing.com. When you buy Gusset Clothing, put the word crash in the coupon code to receive free shipping.
You've got your gold, water filters, and storable food. Now for complete self-sufficiency, make your own fuel with Revenor.com. Don't laugh. A quality still from Revenor.com and our free book included with every still is all you need to beat the high cost of gas and stop dependence on foreign oil. Find out how easy it is to legally make your own alcohol fuel at R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. Revenor.com. Find quality alcohol stills.
Did somebody say stills? That's how Grandpappy made his own sour mash, and you can too. Revenor stills can be used to make brandies, liquors, whiskey, vodka, and more. All perfectly legal with a permit. You should check into having your own Revenor still at Revenor.com. That's R-E-V-E-N-O-O-R.com. Or call 503-662-4173. 1 year warranty on all stills from Revenor.com. Fine quality alcohol stills.
We're going to hit the mailbag and then sports in our final segment. But we are covering territory fast, my friends. Unlike what happened in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, could time have moved slower for some of the people that were waiting desperately for help, who desperately needed help, whether it was just initially food and rations and stuff when everything unfolded. All right, quickly, let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Kate. How's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Okay. Last week, I was watching the news, and a lot of, taking a poll, about 50% of people think Obama's a Muslim.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid are these people?
I know. You know what? See, you can, this is the thing. You can bag on Obama for all kinds of things that you think are ridiculous and that are happening, that you don't think he's a good president, he shouldn't have been elected, whatever. But his father was Muslim, so, okay? But there's no doubt. I mean, he went to Jeremiah Wright's crazy church, so
yeah,
that wasn't a Muslim facility. That wasn't a mosque.
No. We heard that through the campaign. He sat in the church for 20 years, Reverend Wright, you know.
Right.
And he don't have no beard. He has no turban. And his wife, Michelle, she don't wear no burqa, you know. So no stuff is expect the Muslim to let his wife go out with a burqa on.
If they were devout, you're right. If they were devout, she would have to wear a burqa. Yeah. Yeah.
And she mm-hmm. walks beside him. She don't walk behind him.
That's right.
Well, these people, I can see why the unemployment is so high, because these people are too dumb to get a job. You know, they believe that stuff.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't, because it's just not paying attention. Because, like I said, you can, there's a lot of things, absolutely, you can attack him about. You don't like X, Y, Z. I think he's ineffective, but it's stupid to pin the that on on him.
That's one of the dumbest things I ever heard.
I agree.
Anyway, I see a friend, what's her name, Laura Schlesinger or something now. She's got her Tea Party membership to Sarah Palin's backing her now. So Sarah Palin thinks she's okay. So.
Well, you know what's funny is that a couple of years ago, or just a year and a half ago or whatever it was, Dr. Laura was bagging on Sarah Palin. But that's what happens. Sometimes then you make up, depending on whether you're all of a sudden in the same crowd. And she's done at the end of the year with what they call terrestrial radio. So she'll go into, she'll do the books and she'll do the podcasting and all the other stuff.
I say she'd be a spokesman for the Tea Party now. They like to use the N word all the time too, anyway. So, and they got Sarah Palin. She's got Sarah Palin on her side too.
Yeah.
That'd give her good credentials for the Tea Party.
Yeah, you know, she could, she's not, but really, she's not that political, or she hasn't been in the past, unless that's all going to change, and that's going to be the new Dr. Laura. She's, it's more about the issues, the other issues surrounding it. She was never about the politics of things. And it's, the timing is interesting, because I said this in the last show, and we're trying to get him to come on America Tonight, we will get him, but Dick Armey was talking about the Tea Party movement is just ready to flop over the Republicans because of what's going on in the Republican Party. And the Tea Party basically is, in a nutshell, Rick, and you know this, a lot of the people in the Tea Party are just saying, look, we're frustrated with all the crap that's going on, and more people are so-called signing up for the cause of what they're calling liberty rather than, you know, breaking away from it. And then there's talk of a third party, but what would a third party do? It'd be tough to push for a third party now. And so that's what happens with the whole Tea Party movement. And Army did a book called Give Us Liberty, a Tea Party Manifesto. So that talks about the Tea Party movements in the past and the present and the future.
Yeah, I really don't understand what they stand for, because I thought they were for the Republicans, but they're voting them out of office and everything, so I ain't figured them out yet. But
well, I don't, anyway, I don't think they figured out either. Rand Paul said that. I think that it's so new, the idea of it, that this is a whole, I mean, the whole idea is just like, this is sort of, is it a movement, like you said, and it's part of, okay, we're Republicans, but we're really don't believe in some of the things that we're seeing out of the current Republicans, so this is kind of what we stand for, and I think it's more of a movement than anything else, I guess. It's the idea of the Constitution, it's the idea of, you know, liberty, the freedoms, all that kind of stuff. It's the idea of the government being too powerful, that kind of stuff. That's what I think.
Yeah. You know what? All right, like I said, I quite figure out what they stand for.
I know.
are we doing Nail the Score this year?
Nail the Score starts the first week of football season, so mark your calendar. It's going to be on Thursday in the third hour. I've already got some stuff to give away, cowboy retrospective books that are 50-year look back. They're like coffee table books, and then I've got the whole prize pack, so you better make sure that you get in on the action, Rick.
For the Cowboys?
No, I can't stand the Cowboys, but the cowboy book is nice. And I know there's cowboy fans listening. So if you're a cowboy fan, you have a chance to get that. But if you win the whole thing, it's not about the Cowboys. It's about all the other prizes you would get, plus the bragging rights. Every time that you come on, we would have to call you sir. Anyone, if somebody wins it, that's what has to happen. But I don't think anyone's going to win it. Rick, cross your fingers and get ready for it. It's the first week of football, okay?
First week. That'd be next week.
It's the week, not preseason. It's the week after that.
Week after week.
It's like the 12th. Okay. It's the 12th. 12. Yeah.
Okay. I'll mark the calendar.
All right. You do that. Thanks, Rick.
Okay. You take care.
You too. Let's go to Trey in Kentucky. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Kate, how you been doing?
Good, buddy. How about you?
Playing with the horses. Same old, same old.
I love it.
Yeah, I was listening to you talk about Katrina, and I'll have to agree with you. I don't think New Orleans will ever be the same.
No. This is terribly selfish to say, Trey, but I'm glad that I got to see it in its heyday.
Yeah, me too. My hometown, see, a lot of people don't realize how much it actually affected. I mean, New Orleans was hit hard, but the town I was born and raised in, Natchez, Mississippi, their population doubled overnight. And a lot of the people just didn't leave. They didn't go back. So you're talking about they built, I'd say, 20 new roads, lots of stoplights. Nobody had any jobs because, I mean, it's a small town. I mean, max county and city, 30,000 people, and it went to, you know, almost 70,000 overnight. And where was everybody going to go?
Yeah.
Enough room. I got family in Jackson, Mississippi. You know, they didn't have power or anything for a couple weeks, and there was people up there killing each other over bags of ice. And I mean, it just got crazy. So, I mean, Baton Rouge got hit hard by it because of all the people. Mississippi, Biloxi, there's still people in Biloxi living in the little campers. So,
yeah, Biloxi. I mean, I had a friend that was in Biloxi, and her house just blew away. That was it. Boom. All that was left was barely the foundation, and all around them, it was just pure devastation. Absolutely. And I said that people don't realize. I'm glad you brought that up. People don't realize what happened. I guess they do, but most of the focus was on New Orleans. But a lot of damage was done to Mississippi, and you're right. What happened was when people started to go on the move, then it also destroyed the infrastructure of some smaller cities.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. But yeah. I got a question for you. What's going on with your show here in Lexington?
They've got some of the repeat hours that they're airing and some of the live hours. So you get this hour live, I think, and probably the next hour, I believe. And that's, all they did was switch the times.
Oh, okay, all right. I was just
see, because you're having a hard time. Yeah.
I can't handle this no more.
There you go.
All right, Kate, you have a good night now.
All right, you too, Trey. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's good that he brought up the Mississippi angle, because he's right, and, hey, it affected his family, he knows. And they're similar things happen in a lot of smaller areas, too. But also even Houston, Texas changed dramatically. The amount of people that fled to Houston, and then, you know, people didn't have jobs and their livelihoods were ruined. And then there weren't people going back either. And that's part of the problem with the school system in Louisiana and some of those areas, because the families left and didn't come back, and then you're rebuilding. So how much are you, who are you rebuilding for? What's the population? How many, how many kids are enrolled in the schools? And that was crippling too. That's why I don't think it'll ever be the same. There are a lot of parts that won't be the same. So when the oil spill happened and you heard about the shrimpers and those who make their living fishing and in the hotel business and restaurant business, you just really felt for them, because you had Katrina first and then you had this happen 5 years later, and it was catastrophic to a lot of people, and they know what that was like, having gone through a worse situation, a horrible situation, when the hurricane hit and ultimately ripped up so many people's lives. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to lighten the load a little bit, some sports conversation. That's next here around the bend.
Go
Gulf War vets,
9/11 workers,
people around the Gulf oil spill fumes,
all were exposed to toxic chemicals in the air and became ill.
Even in your home, air contamination can make you sick.
You have been exposed to airborne toxic particulate matter and volatile organic compounds causing fatigue, flu-like symptoms, or worse.
Protect yourself.
You cannot trust anyone to do it for you. Clean the air in your home or workplace with a HealthMate Plus air purifier. Call airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to purify the air you breathe. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
There's no question the biggest sports news probably on the day has to be what was inevitable, and we're all sick of hearing about it, but we'll throw it out there in case you missed it. The Tiger Woods marriage is over. That was officially done in a courtroom in Florida after months and months of speculation and rumors over the gazillion dollars that she supposedly was going to get, and that's it. He and what's her name? Elin Norgren are done, and or Elin Norgren are done. They were living apart anyway since all of this happened, so I think it was just inevitable. They were married 6 years. The whole deal was they wanted the privacy, and he especially wanted it, so the terms weren't disclosed. There were crazy rumors about that she was going to get $750 million. What I heard is it's really closer to $150 million. And they're sharing custody of the kids now at this point. So they've got a daughter who's 3 and the son who's 1. At this point, he was the number one golfer in the world. And would anyone have cared if he wasn't so uber famous, and reality is nobody wouldn't have cared. And now at this point, he's officially single, so whatever he does, no one's going to pay attention to it. I don't think so anyway. And it's just about the golf, most likely, which is probably good for the kids because of the paparazzi nuttiness that ensued. That happened in November, and the paparazzi was all over him and her, I think, for the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. But again, do we really care? We were just talking about Katrina and all the devastation and what's happened to the people and what's happened to some of the other outlying areas as everybody fled and was trying to take cover somewhere, and it just seems so insignificant. It still was a big headline grabber, though, when you want to talk about sports. So now we move on to other things like football. And you heard Rick in Illinois ask about Nail the Score. Nail the Score is definitely back. Nail the Score, third hour on Thursday nights, where the computer randomly picks the game of the week. This is just like picking lottery numbers. You just call us up and tell us what you think is going to happen, the final score of the game. And if you correctly nail the score, ding, 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 you're a winner. It's that easy. But it's not so easy to nail the score, let's put it that way. Everybody tries, and they try. And I have a feeling that somebody eventually is going to do it, and this could be the season for it. It would be terrific. I'd be more than excited if somebody was able to do that, because the prize pack is fully loaded. I mean, fully loaded. There's a lot of camp buzz now because it's a couple of weeks and counting until we officially have football. I mean, I guess we do have football, but it's preseason stuff, and I mean, who cares about preseason football other than the guys who are trying not to get cut? Although I will say, I've kind of started to watch this Hard Knocks show, and this time they're featuring the Jets. Just fascinating to me as somebody who covered football to watch what's happening in whatever the camp is that they choose on the season. And this time around, it happened to be the Jets. And one of the storylines for the Jets is what is going to happen when they take the field. They've got a massive holdout situation, and there are rumors that holdout situation is about to come to an end, if you can believe that or not. Because what I'm talking about is whether or not Revis is going to report. Supposedly, he might be back in a Jets uniform. Now, I know there's people listening to us in Vermont who are huge Jets fans, and a story broke earlier in the day that this could be over, and it was broken by a guy who was a writer for the Dallas newspaper. His name is Tim Kalishaw, and he was on a couple of different shows, and I happened to see some of them because he was talking about his sources, because everybody has been all over this story. And will Darrell Revis be back or not is the big question. And his contract was so hefty, and they were so far apart on the money. We've seen this before with other players. The great Peter King, because in my opinion he's the best sports writer and one of the best insiders in the game, had this to say whether or not it's true that he'll report.
I think the only way it's true is if Darrell Revis has determined that on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week, he's going to take the last best deal on the table, come in and say, you know what, it's a bad time to be negotiating a contract anyway in this uncertain labor time, especially with 3 years left on the contract.
All right, so you heard that. It's a bad time to do it, and I think he's right. Like I said, there's been holdouts in the past, but they were different economic times for some of these football teams. And the Jets are in a good position. The Jets, after how far they went last year, have a great chance, I think, depending on Mark Sanchez, their quarterback, because this is technically, well, it is, it's his sophomore year, so does he, is he more of a leader this time around? Is he, you know, is he able to take the Jets as far as the quarterback has to, if you're going to go all the way through the playoffs and get to the promised land, which is, of course, the Super Bowl. And I think this kid can do it. I like the fact that he doesn't have a lot of kind of swagger. I mean, he's a little bit, but I don't think it's over the top. There's something to be said for that. I don't know. Of course, there's a guy listening who is running the technical side of this show who would like to see the Minnesota Vikings come back. And I can imagine the buzz is still over Brett Favre and the fact that everybody got to see him for just a few minutes the other night. Are people in Minnesota talking about Favre?
It's quieted down a little bit, but because the main news here is that our receivers are all injured, and we're thinking about signing Javon Walker, actually. And Sidney Rice may have to have surgery. Percy Harvin's still out with the migraines. So kind of hurting a little bit on the receiver end. So that's become the number one story so far regarding the Vikings.
Well, so you mean so you mean Brett Favre's not going to be running the ball? Is he going to have to run the ball because he has no one to throw it to?
I don't think
there
so.
There goes Favre.
We'll be doing
He's
a
changing.
Lot of handing off, I think.
That's right. He's changing his patterns. What's he doing? Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I love the football conversation. It's like I said, I got hooked into this Hard Knocks thing in watching, I mean, you know, the Jets. It wasn't that I was a great big Jet fan, but just watching the differences. Like, they have Mark Brunell, who's 40 years old, and he's the gray beard guy behind the kid quarterback. And, you know, there's some intriguing storylines, I think, with the Jets. And across the board on paper, it's like somebody said to me the other day from the Dallas Cowboys organization, well, everybody looks like they're going to win today because on paper it does look that way. I mean, look at all the guys we have. Look at all this talent. And then it starts to fall apart midway through the season. Kind of like when we do the nail the score thing. There are no definites when you look at these teams. That's why I say it's like picking lottery numbers, because there are things that you know to be true, but then there are injuries and there are weather conditions and things that change a game, like the Jets holdout, Darrell Revis. If you don't have a corner like Darrell Revis, who is a giant part of the team, how does that change the complexion of the Jets? And the answer is it changes them a lot. All right, so looking for Nail the Score and your chance for bragging rights. So maybe you do want to pay attention to what's happening a little bit in some of these football camps, but I don't know if that'll give you an edge, because it is about the numbers and what you think will happen. You know, like Green Bay beat Seattle in the preseason game the other night, 27-24. If you had guessed that and it was a regular season game, you would have nailed the score. Simple as that.
Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.